I had reached a brick wall, you know, and I was just like, I don't know, and I don't have any answers for this anymore. And that was when I had moved to Nashville in 2018. God knew, you know, he knew, he met me there, and he used that family from Vermont who had moved down there as well. They were believers up here. They were one of the 2%, and they invited me to church. In the fall of 2019 is when I accepted Jesus and just said, fine, take this. But it was literally, I was mad. You know, I was like, oh, I heard you're Mr. Powerful. Go ahead and take these things away from me. And I was almost doing it sarcastically. You know, I was kind of like, well, if you're so real, then you just take it away. I'm tired. Take away my addiction and my alcohol and stuff. And he did.
Wow.
And that's where Jesus came in, and that I had heard the gospel for the first time. That really changed my life. And Jesus was the only name.
Welcome to episode 133 of the Inner Teen Out podcast. I'm your host, Jake, and I just want to wish you a happy 2023. I'm praying for an amazing year for just all of us. And if you are a first timer here, just want to say thanks so much for joining us. And if you've been with us for a while, just want to say welcome back. And if you haven't already, make sure that you're following, subscribe, like, whatever that looks like on your favorite podcast platform, so you know when new episodes come out. Our guest for this episode is Ben Fuller, and it actually took us a couple of times to get this episode recorded here. Once, because he was on the road and it was weather-related issues, and the second time we did this, I was actually stuck on a weather-related delay just away from my normal home studio. Things were a little bit, I don't want to say off, but things weren't on the normal path for recording this episode, but I'm really happy that we got this episode recorded. I'm just so excited to share this episode with you. His song, Who I Am, has just absolutely traveled everywhere this year. Just that message has so resonated with so many of us this year. And it was nominated for a We Love Award this year. It was just so inspiring to hear his story, his journey as a young Christian, somebody who didn't grow up in the church like I did. I was part of a church a little while ago that had the Celebrate Recovery program. And when I was a part of those worship nights, it was just a completely different atmosphere. There's just a completely different hunger and fire for God that, as someone who's grown up in the church, sometimes I overlook or I don't realize. And just hearing him and just this conversation about mental health and, you know, faith and everything as guys, it was just a very powerful conversation for me personally. And I'm really excited to share this episode with you guys, really excited to share this conversation with you. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Ben Fuller. We're here with the, I can say this now, Ben, the We Love Award nominated Ben Fuller.
Thanks wow.
For taking some time here, man.
You bet. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
We're talking a little bit, you know, as we're getting set up here, like this is our second try at this, just weather is fun up here in the north. The first time we were scheduled to do this, you were in, you're heading to Rapid City, South Dakota, I should say. And anybody from the north knows driving in the winter, snow is, it's just a thing.
Yep.
I can't it remember sure how is. Much snow came down for those guys at that point, but man, it was crazy.
It was a lot. Yeah, it was crazy. And we had some delays and the buses couldn't go. And anyway, long story, but safety is the biggest thing, you know? So it's just like, hey, we're going to leave when the roads are clear. And it's just, if anyone's driven through a snowstorm before, they know it's just not, it's not fun. It's not safe. So yeah, here we are.
Exactly. So I will say that this is just something that just says something about you and Zach. You're on tour with Zach Williams. It was a shortened set. You guys left probably about 3-4 hours late than you normally do. But yeah. I actually had some friends at that show in Rapid City that even with that compact, even with all the unknowns, they still said that the show was just absolutely phenomenal. Like you wouldn't he didn't know that you guys were on delay until I told him. That mm-hmm. was just the quality of the show that you guys put on that night.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for saying that.
But anyway, I don't think we'd announced the We Love Award nominations yet. But, you know, like I said, now that we had this little pause here to do this, we can say it now, man. We're just absolutely excited to have you as a nominated artist this year. For me, this was actually like a no-brainer because the song Who I Am is just absolutely, it's gone wild. It's been everywhere this year. It's impacted so many people. I mean, I think this was kind of like a shoe-in. Like, we could not nominate the song this year.
Wow. Yeah, thank you. It certainly has. I mean, God just, he blessed it big time when we wrote it. And I know that a lot of amazing things happened in the room that day. And I just knew it was a special song. And, you know, the funny thing is it almost didn't even make the album.
And, no way.
It's funny how these songs work, but my radio team was just like, oh, that's the song. And it was kind of funny how we were like, okay, well, it was on all of our lists. You know, we had a lot of songs, but we went back and revisited the song several times and we're like, okay, yeah, I hear the special. I hear how awesome it is. And maybe this is it, you know, but it's just amazing how you like, you can get in your own head a little bit and be like, oh, is this it? Is this good? Is this, I don't know, you know, and you start comparing. But yeah, I appreciate it. You saying that big time because it has been very special.
There's something special about these kind of songs. And when you have the vulnerability in them, there's a Decipher Down song a little while ago. I knew I was going to do this. I had on the tip of my tongue, the song name.
Yeah.
But they had a song very similar to that. I want to say like in 2008, 2009. And that was one that really resonated very hard at the time as well. And I think you're seeing a trend in Christian music these days that you have this, it's okay to not be okay sometimes. And it's okay to question and all that. And just the vulnerability that's kind of gone into these songs, I think is really resonating with people, not only after this COVID season, that political season, you know, all that kind of stuff, but I think it's something that's been building, and I think you're seeing a kind of an outcropping of that, you know, in the songs that are coming out. And I think that's one of the reasons why Who I Am just really resonated with so many people.
It's funny, that song to me, there were so many other songs on the album that really drove home for me. And Who I Am is probably the most just anthemic of the songs that I've got, probably the most, I'm a Child of the Most High God. Definitely the most anthemic of the songs, and the rest are kind of these story songs, you know, that tell my struggle and talk about the real stuff. Because when we started this thing out, we've been using the word show, you know, we put on a show and we had a good show last night. We had a good show last week and everything. And it was just like, it wasn't setting right with me. And I was like, why is this word not sitting right with me? And then I realized because this isn't a show and because this is for real. This is really me on stage pouring my heart out night after night, and there's not a show about it. And so we just started calling them joyful noise. We would just make a joyful noise, you know, had a good joyful noise last night, or it was a tough joyful noise last night, or, you know, depending on the opposition that we get. But yeah, I'm just out to tell the truth. You know, life is so dang short. It's so easy to cover it up with stuff, you know, to make it look really good. And yeah, I think that by telling the truth and being a little messy and showing that allows people to do the same, you know, hey, yeah, my life is hard too. Wow. Okay. Well, what's going on in your life? And it opens a lot of doors.
One of the things that I didn't know until I went to one of the joyful noises, I would say show, but I guess we're X-Nang.
Yeah, I love it.
That was my first time hearing you live. And man, just what you're saying is that who you are on stage, I loved getting to photograph that show. Like, it was just so much fun just seeing that emotion, just seeing that fully come out on stage. But a lot of the stuff that I didn't realize your story, what your story was until I went to that show. Like, I just enjoyed the song. And man, just the power behind your story. Speaking of snow, you hear born in Vermont or grew up in Vermont.
Yeah.
And being in a place that's relatively unchurched, I didn't realize just how unchurched Vermont is.
Yeah.
It just blew my mind. I grew up in Wyoming. I live in Texas. Like, church is a thing here. Blows my mind to think of places in the States that aren't very churched at all.
Yeah. And New England was once on fire pretty hard for the Lord. I mean, there are churches in every single town, on every little corner. And in between that, those old white steeple, you know, colonial looking churches. But a lot of them are boarded up and just closed down, you know, it's just, and it's just physically cold up here in the a lot of months out of the year, but also spiritually, Vermont is 2% Christian, and so it's just it's certainly a tough place to come up and talk about Jesus. And I think I said this from the stage, but I grew up with Jesus as a swear word. Yeah. And that literally is that name was a swear in my mouth. Every time I go back to Vermont, it's just like, wow, you know, I'm reminded of, you just don't know yet. That's all. Yeah. You just don't, you know. And so one of my favorite sayings is, well, when I hear that someone say it in vain, hey, at least you know his name. Yeah. You know, and all of a sudden it's like, they're like, what'd you just say to me? And I'm like, well, at least you know his name, you know? And they're like, whose name? There's such a stigma, but it's become so like desensitized that people just say it and they don't even know that they're saying his name.
There's a meme that floated around Christmas of Buddy the Elf, and it's like, I know him, Jesus. You know, and this one guy was commenting of like, anytime I hear somebody take Jesus' name in vain, it's like, I do that. It's like, I know him.
That's so good.
I don't know if I'm quite that brave to do that, but that's pretty.
It takes a lot of boldness, but I'll tell you, it's like what I've realized. What have I got to lose? You know, what's somebody going to say to me? Jesus freak. Somebody going to call me a name. Somebody going to flip me off. Somebody going to, you know. And it's just like, you know what? I've been there, man. I've done that. I've lived that life, and now I've seen the other side. I've tasted and seen the goodness of the Lord, and it's. I'm not like a street preacher. I wouldn't, because I get uncomfortable in those situations too. Being bold is not easy, you know, and especially just saying it like you mean it and like you know it in your heart. It's like, that's not easy just to walk up to somebody and say, hey, you know what you need? I think the bottom line is what I've learned in a very short time of being a believer. It's only, you know, 3.5 years for me is that doesn't work. That just doesn't work. And so what does work is telling your story by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. By telling my story, it allows you to tell yours. It allows somebody else to tell theirs. And then there's a lot of freedom that happens in that. And then introducing Jesus as, you know, hey, he was my only way out. He was the only person who ever helped me and hasn't failed. And I think that's part of the answer, you know, it's just telling people what happened to you, because that's hard to argue with. Right. I don't know exactly what your story is, but I'm not going to say, no, you didn't. I mean, because how do I know?
Talking about that, I love how you bring your perspective of those of us who have been in the church for a while. You know, we say the baby Christian.
Yeah.
But I love the perspective that you bring being a baby Christian. What has been that journey to, you said 3.5 years, what happened 3.5 years ago that brought you to what's going on now to a We Love nominated artist?
You know, I think 17 years of hiding drugs and alcohol and sex and all the things that I tried to find joy and peace and acceptance and love in, all those years just piled on. And I finally got so tired of living that way. And I was like, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be something else that's better and easier than me continually working, continually striving, continually trying. Yeah, I had reached a brick wall, you know, and I was just like, I don't know, and I don't have any answers for this anymore. And that was when I had moved to Nashville in 2018. God knew, you know, he knew, he met me there, and he used that family from Vermont who had moved down there as well. They were believers up here. They were one of the 2%, and they invited me to church in the fall of 2019 is when I accepted Jesus and just said, fine, take this. But it was literally, I was mad. You know, I was like, oh, I heard you're Mr. Powerful. Go ahead and take these things away from me. And I was almost doing it sarcastically. You know, I was kind of like, well, if you're so real, then you just take it away. I'm tired. Take away my addiction and my alcohol and stuff. And he did.
Wow.
And that's where Jesus came in, and that I had heard the gospel for the first time. That really changed my life. And Jesus was the only name that I ever heard. And when I realized that he died for me and my sin, and so that I can live in eternity, as long as I just believe in him, right? Yeah. And it still blows my mind, but it's like, what's that lyric from Cody Carnes? too good to not believe, you know, yeah. Brandon Lake, it's too good to not believe. And it's just like all these things that led up to this moment of losing and hurting and hating and falling and failing. All of a sudden are just like, wow, I can just let go of all this stuff and I'm okay. And I'm alive. And so I think that's one of the biggest things for me is the peace inside of me. That's just like, hey, whatever happens, I'm okay. You know, if I get nominated for an award, that's cool. If I win, that's cool. If I don't, that's cool. I was more excited about surprising my dad on his 65th birthday than I was about getting a number one in the whole country for Christian music. I really was, because my dad cried. And to see my dad cry, like it melted my heart. And if I get another number one, that's cool. If I don't, that's also cool. I just know that my heart, I feel like my heart is in the right place in continuing to follow him.
As you look across the country and a lot of the junk that we see in the news and just on social media and all that, I mean, coming from that perspective of kind of that, you know, the baby Christian perspective, I mean, what do you see with a lot of the stuff? Because from what I see is like, there's a lot of people who are trying to fill a hole that they can't fill with, whether it's, you know, political ideology or lifestyle or, you know, whatever the advice is, whatever that looks like it's like they're trying to fill a hole that could just never mm-hmm. be filled. When I see some of the stuff, I see more hurting and I see more of that kind of thing. From your perspective there, is that something that you kind of see in that? Is that kind of like what you experienced, or what do you think on that?
Yeah. And they need to John chapter 6, verse 66, to whom else shall we go, my Lord? Yeah. And I think that that's just, for me, that's what it was. When I realized those words, I've got nobody else to go to. I've got nowhere else to run to. I've got nothing else that will fill and complete and top me off, so to speak, other than Jesus. I've tried all those things. I've done all those things. You know, we were joking about scratch-off tickets before. All that stuff that's just junk, you know, and it buys you more junk. It can buy you this temporary feel-good happiness, but it's not going to fill that joy. You know, the joy has been a word that's been coming up in my life recently more and more and more, but it's a joy inside that you can't snuff out. And it's a joy inside that you're just like, it just pours out of you even on your darkest days, because believe it or not, Christians do get depressed.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I've got bad days. I've had terrible, sad days, but I still have joy. I still have Jesus. I still have the answer. And I always crawl back to him every single time.
Well, it's a promise that we still have bad days. That's part of in yep. there. Like, you have the prosperity gospels and everything will be all right gospels, but you know, there's one little spot of like, yeah, life is still going to suck sometimes.
Yes, you bet. Yeah. And it does.
You're talking about your dad. That's part of mm-hmm. your story as well. One of the things that we all got to hoop and holler at the Joyful Noise back in, I think it was November mm-hmm. that I caught you, was that you finally had a good connection with your dad. What's that story?
I just generations of, you know, my grandpa and passing down to my dad and passing down to me of just men are strong and men are tough, and to show weakness is not okay. And being emotional is showing weakness. And so I feel like the watching the Lord reverse all of this has been incredible, literally. And he has been, he's changed my dad's heart. And listen, just by me walking it out. And so I haven't had to beg my father. I haven't had to say anything really other than just follow God and follow what God wants for my life and continue to claim Jesus as my savior and boast in him. And all these things have been added unto me. Like the Bible says, all of a sudden, all of this, my family's coming back around and they're all like, whoa, what's going on? Hey, congratulations on number one. And then all of a sudden my mom and dad are flying out to shows.
Wow.
And you know, they flew to the Joyful Noise we made in Louisiana. My dad's never flown in 20 years.
Wow.
And he gets on a plane and comes down because he just feels it so strongly. He's like, oh, I had to come down. You surprised me for my birthday. I'm surprising you. I'm like, Dad?
Well, was that summer or winter that he flew to Louisiana?
Summer.
Oh, well, summer. That's even more so. I mean, I can understand the winter from Vermont to Louisiana, but.
Yeah, it was late. It was like fall time. I remember it was a little chilly that day, honestly, but yeah, I mean, he's restoring our relationship. And this is my whole life of arguing and fighting and just hard to find peace as a father and a son. I thought I was right. And, you know, I argued a lot with him and we had a hard time finding love, you know, and loving each other. And I've watched God just totally restore that. And my dad it's been so sweet to talk to him now. And not that it wasn't before, we had some things, but I think that the coolest thing about this is my dad didn't know. He didn't know the difference. He was taught how he was taught from his dad. And then my dad taught me. And then, but I remember several times being like, I want this to be different. I want to say, I love you. I want this to be different. And God he's restoring all of that. So if somebody on here who's listening is going through the same thing, who's dealing with a tough relationship with their dad or their mom or something, it's like, you just follow Jesus and you just walk this thing out on your own. And mom and dad are watching and they're watching you, because my mom and dad are watching me. They don't have to say anything. And that's the beautiful part. They don't have to say anything. Just know that they're watching. All of a sudden you'll be surprised at some things that start happening because their heart is softening and changing. And they might not even know it.
Peeling back a little bit about the, you know, the guys and the emotional. And that's something that I like to bring up when I can on this podcast, because even, you know, growing up in church my whole life, you know, I've also kind of had that, like, guys have got to be strong. I mean, I think that's more of a societal thing as well. Societal pressure. And something that I've been realizing a little bit lately is, and not only just the being able to show emotion and all that, but just the need that guys have to have for connection and not doing things solo. You know, being married, having kids and all that. One of the tougher things that I've had to learn as well is to not be so focused on the provider, the role that you have, the provider, the strength, the rock and all that, that you miss why you're doing that. You can't miss the family time. You can't miss, you know, loving your wife, whatever that looks like, because you're being too strong, because you're being that rock in there. Being a guy in America, in today's society, especially, like, there's a certain stigma that's stuck on that. Mm-hmm. And I think we still need to be all those things, but there's that extra layer, like you're talking about, having the emotional side and being able to be soft as well as hard, and knowing when to do that and when not to be, is like, that's half the battle for us, right? Yeah. For us guys here in the States, at least.
Amen. Yeah. It really is. But I think part of that vulnerability, like you're talking about, I mean, we've been talking about that this whole time, but yeah, being real and just being like, hey, I had a really bad day today. Can we talk about it? I mean, being emotional. And I think that I know a lot of where I came from would be like, oh, that's girly, or, you know, quit being that way, man. Like, that's not, you know what I mean? Where it's like, what do you want to talk about your feeling? You want to get your nails done too? Like, I feel like it was always a thing. It was like, be a man, bro, man up. And it's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I want to talk about this. I'm emotional. Like, that's the only way we're going to get through this. Otherwise, what? We're going to stuff this down and pass each other in the hallway, you know? Yeah. And I'm 30, 35, soon to be 36 and single, you know, and over 3 years celibate, waiting on the promise of God for my wife. And it's like, you want to talk about hard. You want to talk about tough. You want to talk about a lesson. You want to talk about obedience. I mean, I'm not tooting my own horn, but like, it's one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my life. Yeah. And for those guys that are out there doing the same, it's a struggle, and I fail and I lust and I fall daily, but holding on to that purity and that newness and recognizing that the Lord has a wife for me and that I'd love to have children someday. You know, it's just, I know every time I went around him, I would fail every single time because my flesh, because my desires, because I'm a man, it would always fail. I literally just was like, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Whatever it is, whatever it takes, I'm waiting on you. And that's the way that I've left it with him. And it's been, you know, I think we're probably creeping up on 4 years. That's fine. I'll go however long it takes.
And one of the things that I, you know, kind of wrapping up this side, you know, one of the things that I really found to be important as a guy is to have a good core group of friends.
Yes.
you can be real with, that you can be honest with, that you can be stupidly emotional with. To go get your nails done with, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, praise God. Yeah, I'm here for it. Yeah, absolutely. That's good. That's really good. Your accountability buddies. Yeah, the ones that are there for you no matter what. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, I have a couple of buddies of mine who we have a group thread that we've all walked through a lot of crap together. We've walked through a lot of highs together. I mean, those are my go-to guys that, you know, if something happens, they're there. And
yeah,
that's changed a ton. I've never had that in my life until, you know, these guys showed up a couple of years ago. And I mean, that has changed so much dramatically in just 2 years. Just so for any guys who are, you know, don't have that, I mean, like, find those people like
now. Yeah. And if you can't find them or whatever, ask the Lord.
Yep.
I ask God all the time. Ask him, Lord, send me some help. I need help. Send me somebody that's going to hold me accountable. Send me somebody that's going to stand beside me through thick and thin. Send me somebody that I can cry with, you know, and if guy or a girl, I don't know. I mean, just send me a friend that I can do life with down here. And he hears that and he knows that.
So as we start winding down the episode here, Ben, what is coming next for you?
I'm the world's worst promoter of myself, I'm the worst because it's Jesus who has changed my life. And I hate talking about Ben Fuller, but I Casting Crowns, we're touring with Casting Crowns and we are messengers. And I look forward to meeting Mark. I haven't met him yet. And Darren Mulligan has been such a wonderful friend to me. He's sent me lunch money before when I was broke. He's lifted me up. He's prayed with me. He's the real deal. What you see is what you get with him. And I've heard the same about Mark. And so I'm looking forward to meeting him. And so, yeah, excited. March 2nd, we go on tour. We're out with them until May. And then a whole lot of festivals this summer. I'm really, really excited. We're recording some new music this winter. So really excited about that too as well. January, February, going to get some new music together. And I think the next single comes out the end of January, if I'm not mistaken. Wow. So there are some cool things coming. And I'm excited to just continue down this road of truth and just being really honest. And I think that that's just the key. It's been the key for me and my sobriety. I'm just going to keep that going because I have to.
That's awesome.
But yeah, well, Ben Fuller Music, I guess. Ben Fuller Music on Facebook and Ben D. Fuller on Instagram. I'm on there. If you type in Ben Fuller on Instagram, you should find me. And I like to be really silly. And I love Charlie Chaplin. And I love the 1800s. And so you'll probably see some of that stuff on there too. So
yeah, we've definitely seen that from your stage kits. You know, yeah, guys. I just love that retro look that you have.
Cool. Thank you.
That's just such an awesome change of pace from a lot, but just, I love seeing that, like you said, with the kind of the 1800, the retro vibes and.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Definitely. You know, follow Ben on Instagram for all the silliness. Like I love seeing it all around through and the encouragement as well.
Encouragement. I try to balance it. Some days I'm like, man, I'm so high and so awesome and so feeling great. And then other days I'm so low and I'm depressed and the devil's speaking at me and I'm trying not to listen, but it's working. And so, yeah, I want to be real with everybody and just be, continue to be who God made me to be. I know that life can get really hard sometimes, but we've got to keep going. There is a promise for us that is way better than all this. And he said it, and all we got to do is believe in him. And so thank you, Jesus.
I don't think we can end the podcast any better than that, Ben. I think that's the best final word right there.
You bet.
Just thank you for spending the time with us here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.